I'm Steve Ember.
And I'm Barbara Klein with Explorations in VOA Special English. Today, we tell about a program in the 1960s to train women as astronauts. Today, they are known as the Mercury 13. They never reached their goal of spaceflight, but they led the way for other American women to travel into space.
In 1959, the United States was involved in a space race with the former Soviet Union. The Soviets had surprised the world by launching the first satellite. Sputnik 1 was launched into orbit on October 4, 1957. Suddenly, the United States appeared to be behind in an important area of technology. As a result, President Dwight Eisenhower formed the National Aeronautics and Space Administration in 1958. By April 7, 1959, NASA introduced the first American astronauts. They were Scott Carpenter, Gordon Cooper, John Glenn, Virgil Grissom, Walter Schirra, Alan Shepard, and Donald Slayton. They were known as the Mercury 7.
In the fall of that year, William Randolph Lovelace was attending a meeting of the Air Force Association in Miami, Florida. Dr. Lovelace was deeply involved in the effort to put Americans into space. He served on NASA's Special Committee on Life Sciences. Astronaut candidates had been put through tests at his medical center in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Dr. Lovelace and Air Force Brigadier General Donald Flickinger wondered if women could be trained as astronauts. General Flickinger had designed the space flight tests for the astronaut candidates. He also knew that the Russians had plans to launch a woman into space. The two men met with Jerry Cobb, a 28-year-old pilot. They thought Ms. Cobb would make a good female astronaut candidate. They invited her to Dr. Lovelace's Medical Research Center in Albuquerque for tests.
Jerry Cobb went to Dr. Lovelace's medical center in February of 1960. She spent 1 week receiving the same series of tests that the Mercury 7 astronauts faced. These tests included a general physical examination and X-rays. Some tests involved electric shock. Other tests pushed the body to its physical limits. Yet another test required freezing the inner ear with ice water to test for the condition of vertigo. The doctors also measured brain waves. They performed a total of 75 tests on Jerry Cobb.
Jerry Cobb had one unusual test on a machine called the Multi-Axis Space Test Inertia Facility, or MASTIF. The MASTIF was in NASA's Lewis Research Center in Cleveland, Ohio. This special machine could move a person in three different directions almost at the same time. It was designed to test a pilot's ability to control a spacecraft under severe conditions. Jerry Cobb passed the test.
During her tests, Jerry Cobb knew that if she failed the first level of astronaut training, no other woman would be tested. By August, the results of the tests were complete. Dr. Lovelace was fully satisfied that Jerry Cobb had scored similarly to the Mercury 7 astronauts. He even noted that Ms. Cobb required less oxygen than the average male astronaut. Jerry Cobb's success meant that more female candidates were needed for more tests.
Jerry Cobb helped Dr. Lovelace and General Flickinger choose female astronaut candidates. She searched among members of the International Women's Aviation Group, the 99s, based in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Ms. Cobb worked hard to develop a list of good candidates by August 1961. 25 other women pilots were chosen and tested at Dr. Lovelace's research center. Candidates had to have flown an airplane for more than 1,000 hours. Generally, they were required to be in their early 30s, and they had to be in good physical health.
Not all the women invited to Albuquerque passed Dr. Lovelace's tests. After the first level of testing, only 13 remained, including Jerry Cobb. The youngest among them was 21-year-old Wally Funk, who was also a competitive skier. 40-year-old Jane Hart was the oldest. She was married to Senator Philip Hart of Michigan. She also flew helicopters. Other members of the group were Myrtle Cagle, twin sisters Jan and Marion Dietrich, Jean Hickson, and Jean Nora Stumbaugh Jessen. Also included were Irene Leverton, Bernice Stedman, Sarah Gerlich Ratley, Jerry Sloan Truhill, and Rhea Hurley Waltman. These women would be known as the Mercury 13. They had passed the first level of tests that the Mercury 7 astronauts faced. They now wanted to progress to the next level.
Not all the Mercury 13 women took the next level of testing. For the Mercury 7 male astronauts, psychological and spaceflight testing took place at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base in Dayton, Ohio. However, NASA would not permit testing to be done on the women at that base. Only Jerry Cobb, Wally Funk, and Rhea Waltman would receive special psychiatric testing for space fitness in Oklahoma City. At the same time, Dr. Lovelace began plans for flight training the candidates. The United States Naval School of Aviation Medicine agreed to test Jerry Cobb for 10 days in Pensacola, Florida. Jerry Cobb passed a series of tests meant for Navy pilots and astronauts. She would be the only one of the Mercury 13 to successfully complete all the tests that Mercury 7 astronauts took. She would also be the only one who had the chance to do so.
Dr. Lovelace had made plans to test the other women in the group at Pensacola. After a delay, September 18th was chosen as the day for flight testing to begin. But it never took place. The women received telegram messages saying the tests had been canceled 4 days before they were to begin. The Navy wanted NASA to approve the training. NASA resisted the idea. Jerry Cobb and Jane Hart immediately tried to get the testing restarted. Their efforts led to a committee hearing in Congress, but the women found little support. Astronaut John Glenn spoke to the committee. He said, "The fact that women are not in this field is a fact of our social order." Glenn later said that he would not oppose a female astronaut program, but he saw no requirement for one.
After 2 days of hearings, members of Congress had heard enough. They would do nothing to change NASA's decision not to train women for spaceflight. But the answer about women in space came less than 1 year after those congressional hearings. On June 16, 1963, Russian cosmonaut Valentina Tereshkova became the first woman in space. She orbited the Earth 48 times and spent almost 3 days in space.
The Mercury 13 women were never officially part of the NASA space program, but their willingness to undergo testing to be astronauts and their performance in those tests showed that women could go into space. It was not until 1983 that Sally Ride became the first American woman in space. 16 years later, Eileen Collins became the first woman to command a space shuttle mission. She invited the surviving members of the Mercury 13 to attend the launch. 7 women were able to attend. On May 12, 2007, the University of Wisconsin, Oshkosh, also honored these women. The university gave honorary Doctor of Science degrees to the 8 surviving members of the Mercury 13. The university said it was honoring the spirit and efforts of this special group of women.
This program was written and produced by Mario Ritter. I'm Barbara Klein.
And I'm Steve Ember. You can read and listen to this program on our website, voaspecialenglish.com. Join us again next week for Explorations in VOA Special English.